Many of our heroes found in the Bible, God didn't choose them because of their talents. The Word teaches us He chose them because of their faith. Faith is what gets the attention of God. So much that the Bible teaches us it's impossible. You can't do it. You can't please God without walking in faith. Can I tell you, faith is a choice. You got to choose to walk in faith. It doesn't just happen automatic. Even for believers, we must choose daily to walk in faith. Look at this statement. Faith moves before it sees. Faith begins to move in the things of God before you see the outcome. Before you see the end results, faith says, I'm going to move and take a step of faith. I'm going to step out in faith and believe that God, you've got me. God, you got this. Imagine yourself standing at the edge of the Red Sea. You have an army of Israelites behind you with no weapons. You have a great obstacle in front of you. Behind the army is an army of Egyptians who are not only skilled fighters, but they are armed with chariots and horses and weapons. And they're ready to destroy you. And you've gone as close to the river, to the Red Sea, as you can. And you get right there, and there's nowhere to go. And God whispers to you, now move forward. Move forward, we're already here. And God's like, I want you to begin to step out into the Red Sea. Now, it's one thing to step out once the waters part. But there's another thing to step out while the water's still there. But you have to believe by faith that God is telling me to step out in faith and step into the water, that there's something He's up to that I don't see yet. Trusting God, moving forward, is how faith gets real. This is the real test of faith. Can I trust God when I don't see the information that tells me how things are going to end up? Can I trust God when I don't see the end result yet? Can I trust God? Faith is trusting God even when I don't see the big picture or even understand where God's taking me. Moses had plenty of reasons to be afraid. I mean, he had already failed once. He already had to flee Pharaoh and the palace because he killed one of the guards who was beating one of his Israelite brothers, the slaves. He fled Pharaoh's palace in fear. He felt inadequate. He made excuses. He questioned his ability. He even tried to convince God to choose and use someone else. God, there's a lot better people you could choose. So if you can identify with that today, I want you to lean in with me today. Let's all lean in together and look at the faith of Moses. Can I say we can attribute so much of Moses' faith to the faith of his parents? They set the foundation for faith in his life. Parents, we must realize, hear me today, parents, this message is going to challenge you. Because we must realize that our faith doesn't just affect us. It doesn't just affect our marriage. It affects our children. Your faith will affect your children. Hebrews 11:23, let's pick it up together. It was by, come on, the bold words we say together. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child. Someone say amen to that. And they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. We see something happening here today. It says that he was an unusual child. How many parents can say today, I have raised, or I have, an unusual child? Yeah? How many parents today can say, I've raised 5 unusual children? My wife and I have this testimony right here. Pray for us. 5 unusual. He says Moses was an unusual child. He was marked of God even from an early age. Because of his parents' faith, he became marked of God. But we understand Pharaoh, King Pharaoh, who ruled over Egypt, was a very pure, not pure, but a pure evil was what he was. Pure evil and just a cruel ruler. Very demonic influenced. Pharaoh and Egypt captured the Israelites, took them, and made them the slaves of Egypt. So they're getting all this hard free labor out of their slaves that they're working for Egypt. And they're working them really hard, but I guess they're not working them hard enough because they kept reproducing. They kept populating. And finally one day, Pharaoh's like, you know what? Him and some, I'm sure some of his wise counsel are like, listen, king, they're having a lot of babies. And these babies are going to grow up. They have even a lot more babies. So if we're doing the math right, it's only a matter of time before they outnumber us. And when they figure they've outnumbered us, they're going to be able to revolt and rebel and take over Egypt. So Pharaoh decided to get ahead of the growth curve and decreed that all baby boys be thrown into the Nile River to drown and to die. Very cruel, very evil. It was so, so bad. It's pure evil. Before we look at Moses' faith today, we cannot ignore his parents' faith. We cannot ignore his parents risked their own life to save his life. His parents decided we're not just going to go with the flow and just do, just because the government's telling us to throw our baby into the Nile River, we're not going to throw our baby boy into the Nile River. We're going to do everything in our power to save his life. For 3 months, the Bible says, they hid him. For 3 months, they hid this baby. How many know it's not easy to hide a baby? Parents, really pull in with me today. I want you to get behind the spirit of what we're talking about here. This was not the only time in Scripture we see this demonic influence showing its head and showing out. It happened here when they were trying to kill the men of Israel, the young boys who eventually the enemy knew if they could kill the young boys that the deliverer that God was raising up, he was trying to kill them. Fast forward to when Jesus was going to be born. The prophecies came, the Messiah was coming. And he was coming soon. The baby was going to be born. And so King Herod put out a decree that all baby boys under a young age would be put to death, trying to stop the future Messiah. Pure evil to think about how they would kill young baby boys without any remorse, without a second thought, all for political gain, all for control over a kingdom. It ruled and reigned. It's not something that's ordinary. It is a demonic influence. And parents, hear me today. Church, hear me today. That spirit is not dead. There has been a spirit over the last 10 years, especially the last 7. We've seen there is a spirit trying to take out the young boys from our society, to get them confused about their pronouns and try to get them confused about how to dress and who they are as young men, trying to take away their masculinity and make them neutral in gender. Why? Because when we take out strong men, we take out the leaders that God's calling to lead the church and the family and the community. we've got to be smarter in that and say, no, no, we're not just going to go with the flow. We're not just going to follow in where society is telling us. Our children are unusual. They are marked of God. And as for me and my house, we're going to raise strong women, strong men of God, and they're going to lead and be marked of God. I don't go just because society tells me this is the flow. No, society gets it wrong. God gets it right. Think about it. If they can take away the leadership and the men have, we were called to lead. Women, you're called to lead. Men, we're called to lead. And we complement each other through the giftings God's given us. No, we're going to raise unusual children marked of God. We understand how hard it must have been as these parents said, you know what, we're going to fight it. We're going to do everything we can to save our boy. We're going to do everything we can to save our child. It's hard thinking about this newborn baby. You know, I read this list. I think we can all relate to it. It says the top three questions parents of newborn ask. According to Children's Mercy Hospital, the top three questions are this. How do I get my baby to sleep through the night? Look at somebody and say, it's not NyQuil. I caught you. I know some of you were like, oh, I think you're sick tonight. They need some Benadryl. No, 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 it's not that. Okay. Uh-huh. I caught you. I know. We feel like it sometimes, but that's not the answer. But everybody goes through it. How do I get my baby to stop crying? Number two. How do I get this baby to stop crying? It cries, it cries, and it cries. And when it's done crying, it cries some more. And number three, why is my baby's poop this color? This is the top three questions parents of newborns ask. I think number three should have been number two, but just... Come on, dad jokes all day today. You're in the right spot. But our babies cry when they're hungry. They cry when they're thirsty. They cry when they're tired. They cry when they pee. They cry when they poop. They cry when they get up and they cry. Babies cry. That's what they do. That's their way of communicating. So trying to hide a baby, a newborn baby, you can see and understand the difficulty it would have been. Very hard to do. And so as the baby cries through the middle of the night, the word starts leaking out. They're hiding a baby boy over there. They didn't follow the king's creed. They think they're better than everybody else. We did it, but why didn't they have to sacrifice? Why didn't they obey? Why didn't they have to cry over their child? And so the word starts leaking out. There's always a rat, right? There's always a tattletale somewhere. Yeah, if you're a tattletale, we don't like you. Anyway, I'm just telling you, God loves you. We don't. I'm playing. It's always somebody with a big mouth, right? And so word's getting out. And so they're feeling the pressure. And I'm sure people are telling them, it's just a matter of time. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, snitches get stitches. Come on, right there. I just felt the Holy Spirit say that to me right now. Amen. But the word's getting out. And people are telling them, man, they're about to come in. They're going to arrest you. They'll kill you if they find you hiding this baby. And so his parents, I'm sure, begin to pray and seek God. What do we do to protect this child? And they did what they thought was the last resort of anything they could do. It says that Moses' parents, his mom, she made a basket full of sticks to save his life. The Bible calls this basket of sticks an ark of bulrushes. And I think, isn't it amazing that the Bible calls it an ark of bulrushes? That it was sticks, that was tire proof, and made them float just big enough for a baby to float inside and to keep his body from sinking. It was 2 weeks ago we talked about Noah, how his ability to say yes and to follow God's will, his faith level to obey God when it didn't seem like it made sense. And he built the ark. And when his ark was completed 100 years later and his family was saved on the ark from the wrath of God, he was not regretting it one ounce. And I want you to know that sometimes God asks us to make an ark, keep our children safe in the house of the Lord. What's that mean? That means as long as you can, keep your family in the ark. As long as you can, keep your family protected of God. I know when they get to a certain age, an adult, they'll have to choose whether or not they want to follow what mom and dad have laid out for them. But you got to decide. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to keep our family in the ark. Parents, keep your kids in the ark as long as possible. Moses' mother timed out her release of Moses in the basket. Very perfect. She releases him at the same time that Pharaoh's daughter and her servants would have been bathing and cleaning in the Nile River. Pharaoh's daughter, thank you for taking the lid off that. Appreciate it. Pharaoh's daughter is out with her servants, cleaning, bathing. And she decides she's going to put baby Moses in this ark and float it down the river. What a great plan. She timed it just right. So that while she's there, the basket begins to float down the stream. And the princess, she hears the baby. She finds the basket. And she opens it up to discover a baby floating in the Nile in this ark. This little basket. And she does what any girl's heart should do, and probably almost all would do. She went, "Oh." Her heart melts. She grabs the baby. Immediately, the bond starts taking place. She could tell by the skin color. She could tell by the way the baby looked that this was not one of Egypt's baby. This was a Hebrew baby. And I could see her taking this baby back. And she goes to her dad, Pharaoh, King Pharaoh. "Dad, you're not killing this one. I'm keeping this one." If there was one person who could have stood up to King Pharaoh and got away with it, how many know it had to be his daughter? Nobody else could have got by with that. Nobody else would have, that would have happened. But there's something about dads and a daughter. When your daughter looks at you and bats those eyes, "Daddy, Daddy, I want a puppy, Daddy, whatever." She wants to keep it, right? It's the way that daughters melt to dad's heart. And so he's like, "Okay," he agreed. "She could keep this one." And so she keeps it. And Moses' older sister, Miriam, was watching her mom, and she was keeping an eye on the basket. And she saw what had happened, and she went up to the princess and says, "Hey, would you like for me to find a Hebrew mom who's nursing, who can feed the baby and take care of the baby for you?" And the princess said, "Oh, that would be so great. Could you please do that?" She goes, "I know somebody." Can you imagine her running back to mom? Mom, you're not going to believe this. The princess found Moses. She's going to keep him safe. And she wants to hire you to nurse and take care of Moses. Now, how many moms here today have said this? Have you ever been paid to take care of your own baby, your child? No one's paying you to do that. You do it out of a mom's love and a mom's heart. You may watch somebody else's, but they're going to pay you. But no one pays you to take care of your own child. But how many know when you follow after God's plan, favor ain't fair? So she goes from hiding to now she can walk through the front door of the palace. Walks through. "You guys have fun out here working in the heat. I'm going into the palace to take care of my son." She gets to go in. I'm sure they had the best nursery in all of Egypt. I'm sure she had women fanning her and feeding her grapes, and she's over there nursing. And she's like, "Just take your time, Moses. This is going to be an all-day job." You know, just We understand something. It wasn't something that was over in 3 months. In that time, it had been several years before the child quit nursing. So she was able to spend quality time every day with her own son, the most formative years of his life. Can you imagine while she's feeding him and watching him, she's telling the story. These are your people. These are God's people. God saved you for a reason. God saved you for a destiny. All because she decided she was just not going to go with the flow, but she was going to have faith and believe that God, you could save her child. Moses lived to be 120 years old. And we break his life down into three 40-year categories. Let's look at this together. The first 40 years he spent in the palace as a prince of Egypt. The second 40 years he spent shepherding sheep and goats in Midian in the desert where it's hot. Just taking care of sheep and goats in the hot Midian desert. And then 40 years later we see him as the leader of Israel, the one God used to deliver his people. I like this quote by D.L. Moody about Moses' life. It says, Moses spent 40 years thinking he was somebody, 40 years learning he was nobody, and 40 years discovering what God can do with a nobody. So powerful. If you want to lead like a bold faith like Moses, if you want to walk in a bold faith like Moses, write this down. Number one, you got to choose a new alliance. Choose a new alliance. Moses had everything comfortable at that time that a person could have. Living in the palace, he had the best of the best. He had the best food, the best clothes, the best transportation. He had the best living conditions. He was living as a prince of Egypt. He had it better than the prince of Bel Air. Come on now. He was living as the prince of Egypt. I want to take a minute and just have you sit right there. So I'll tell you a story about the prince of Egypt right here. Okay, here we go. Look what it says in Hebrews 11, 24 and 25. It was by what? Faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. Every person has to make a choice in your life. Every person must make a choice. Will you stand with God and the people of God? Or will you go with what is comfortable? Will you go with what your heart wants? Or are you going to stand with what God wants for your life? Every person has to make a choice. Where does your allegiance lie? Do we do what is convenient? Or do we stand for what is right in God's eyes? Every young person must make his decision for yourself. Every grown adult must make his decision. Where is your allegiance? And then number two, you got to choose God's adventure. Choose to go all in for God. God has a better plan for your life than you have for your life. I know you think your plan is great, but it's weak compared to God's plan. I know you think your plan is fun. It's boring compared to God's plan. When's the last time? Have you ever gone all in for God? I'm telling you, that takes faith, but what an adventure. I can't tell you. I didn't know when I said yes to God to go all in. I remember the night I was working as college help in a factory in between school semesters, and I'm out there and I'm working a midnight shift and I'm packing boxes, and God's speaking to me about going all in, and I'm sweat's pouring off of me, and God said, I want you, and I just said, yeah, God, yes, 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 I'll go all in. I didn't know that yes was going to lead me around the globe to share the gospel through the jungles of the Amazon to big cities, to campgrounds, to a city, and to do things God has seen me be able to do. I could never imagine all of that. I could never imagine raising five great children. I could never imagine having so many great relationships and seeing God do the things he's done. It's all, listen, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of faith, but man, what an adventure. What an adventure that God has allowed us to see. When you go all in for God, I'm telling you, it becomes an adventure. I want you to learn to choose God's plan, not my own plan. Verses 26 and 27. Moses, he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because why? He kept his eyes on the one who was invisible. God's reward will outlast any reward you'll receive here on earth. God's reward will outlast any reward you receive from man. You've got to settle in your heart that do I want man's reward, which will fade and disappear, or do I want God's reward, which will last for eternity? Don't be so nearsighted. Don't be so selfish in your ambition that I can't see. Great is my reward if I go all in for God. It's a reward that will last for eternity. The reward I receive from man, it'll fade. It'll break, it'll decay, and we all know within a matter of minutes, those rewards can be gone. We've seen it happen in our own community. We understand. My reward is not found here on earth. There'll be some rewarding things that happen here on earth, but my real reward is waiting for me in eternity when the Father looks at me and says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter now into your reward. Your name is found in the Lamb's book of life. This is why we celebrate, not because of man's reward, because God is rewarding us. Moses could have settled for man's reward. He could have settled for being prince of Egypt. It sounds great in the movies. It sounds really good to us. But if he had stayed in the palace, he never would have seen God use him to deliver over 1 million people out of slavery and bondage and to set God's people free. That even today, we talk about the faith of Moses. He would never have walked in his full destiny. He'd have missed out in it. I encourage you today, seek God's reward. I encourage you today, get your eyes on God's reward. Look at this statement. See, God called Moses out of Egypt so he could get the Egypt out of Moses. He asked him to leave the comfort of the palace because he was going to have to come back to the palace and confront Pharaoh. So he had to get him out of there. He had to get the courage to leave. He had to get the courage to believe God and stand on his own 2 feet for God. And he had to go. And the Bible says he had to go. See, what we got to understand is it was a setup. This whole thing was a setup. What looked like a step down from the palace was a setup for a step up. It was not a step down. It was a step up as a setup for what God was going to do. That he was going to leave Pharaoh and come back. Do you realize how many years did Moses spend taking care of God's people out in the wilderness, which was really the desert? How many years did he spend out there? Did they wander in the desert? Why is it about his life that everything happens in 40s? I don't know. But how could a man be prepared to shepherd 1 million people in the hot desert for 40 years? Oh, God made him a shepherd in the desert for 40 years before he ever had to lead people and shepherd them. God has a plan. I'm sure he never saw that when he was out there taking care of the sheep. He never saw that when he was a goat herder out there. Never seen that. It's a setup. It was a setup. And the last thing I want you to write down, choose how you will use your life. Not only choose your alliance and not only choose to have a great adventure, but choose how you're going to use your life. Moses chose this in verse 28 and 29 when he came back to Pharaoh, remember? And he was trying to say, set my people free. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover, to sprinkle the blood on the doorpost so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. He came back as God's deliverer and mouthpiece. And he said, keep the Passover. Put the blood across your doorpost and the death angel, God's judgment will pass over. Now we know that to be symbolic of what Jesus did on the cross for us, where his blood is applied, forgiveness is there. And we see something happening here. By faith, he chose to be the person God used to deliver a million people out of captivity, to set them free from bondage. Can I tell you something? This is how I want to spend the rest of my life. This is how I want to spend the rest of my life, helping captive people be set free. I want to spend the rest of my life helping those who are in bondage to sin, bondage into addiction, bondage into hurt, to be set free and to live freedom in Christ. Destiny Church, there's a lot of people captive in our society, in our community. And together, how about we put our hearts together and say, we're going to choose to help create an environment where God's love is setting people free, where God's Spirit is setting the captive free, where God's Spirit is reigning and ruling. I want to spend the rest of my life not only seeing you and me free, but I want to see as many people free as possible. This is how I want to spend my life, and I invite you. Join me in this crusade to follow God. Join me in this alliance. Join me as we say, God, we're choosing you. God, we're choosing to raise unusual children. We're choosing to use faith, bold faith, when you ask us. See, accepting the small assignments now opens the door for bigger leadership assignments in the future. Bold faith says yes now when you don't understand where God is taking you.